Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
And welcome to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. And today we are broadcasting live from the home in Clifton, New Jersey of Dominique and her mom, Lisa, and her dad, Rich, who have an awesome dog who we are going to be talking about and using as our dog of the day for behavioral issues for everyone to learn about the differences between chemical issues that some dogs might have and true behavioral issues. So, as we always do every Friday, is I go on a little bit of a rant and a tirade. What I'm going to do today, instead of going on a rant, we're going to do an educational portion. We're going to be talking about the differences in different types of breeds and the I can't talk today. My gosh, I need more coffee. Someone get me more coffee. We're going to talk about the different types of breeds and groups as we were starting to do about 2 weeks ago, to discuss what kind of dogs are best for which kind of families and households. All right. Well, today marked the day that this is now in the last 3 or 4 weeks, I have gotten calls from not one, not two, not five, not 10, but 12 separate families who have dogs with severe behavioral issues that have resulted in bites on children. Today alone, I had two new people contact me because they had dogs who have bitten children. The most severe was about 300-plus sutures, and the least severe was a little scrape on the side of a baby's nose and everything in between. Why does this happen, you may ask? Well, we have to set our dogs up for success, not for failure, because if we set our dogs up for failure, don't be surprised when they fail. And when we set our dogs up for success, they're going to succeed. So in the show today, we're going to be talking about Dominique and Lisa and Rich's dog, who is a perfect dog for them, but he's got to have a little bit of help where he'll be able to not only be a better dog for them, but be a great dog when we find Dominique a really nice guy who's going to be wonderful for her dog. And her dog is a gorgeous dog, but this dog in the wrong household could have been a little bit more of a problem and an issue. So today we're going to talk about the different breeds, the different groups of dogs, and what you should be looking for in your dog. Well, we've spoken about the toy breeds. Toy breeds are awesome, but you know what the problem is? Toy breeds are only grouped together by size. They're not grouped together by traits, like most of the groups, the hound group, scent hounds, sight hounds, working dogs, all the different types of dogs, the sporting dogs, the herding dogs, the non-sporting dogs, the working dogs, and then the good old miscellaneous, which kind of is self-explanatory. So if you could think for a minute that what kind of dog would be suitable for your own lifestyle. If you're a very active family, then yes, it's great to get a more active dog, a lab, a golden. But remember that we turn our dogs into Olympic athletes, and then we wonder why when we break our arm and we can't take the dog out for his Olympic marathon anymore, that now all of a sudden he's out of control. Well, some of it can be linked not only to nutrition, but sometimes you can have certain dogs that have more of a tendency or propensity to having behavioral issues based on their genetics. Now, we've all heard, you know, about pit bulls and different dogs in the bully breeds, that they're so dominant and they're dangerous. And certainly I have seen a number of very, very dominant and aggressive dogs of all breeds. But one of the most aggressive dogs I've ever done personally was a golden retriever, 5 years old, that had more bites on humans than the average pit bull would put in on a bad fight. Now, why do genetics matter? Well, think about your family for a moment. Unless you're adopted and you might know who your birth parents are, but assuming you're genetically your bio parents or your bio parents, think for a moment. If you have dark brown hair and your husband has dark brown hair, don't the kids tend to look somewhat like one or both of the parents? Well, of course. And don't those kids also have a temperament more like one or the other of the parents or a combination? Well, of course. If you have a 6'8" man and a 6'2" woman, they're probably not going to give birth to me. I'm only 5'3". So the fact of the matter is that when your dog has certain tendencies, whether it's a purebred or mixed breed dog, not that it's an end-all be-all, but it will typically tend to follow certain patterns of behavior and of physical issues. So, you know, people say to me, well, why would that matter? If there's a dog and the dog is fearful, you know, then why would that come through genetically? Well, think for a minute. Eye color is transmitted. If you are a man and you have a child with brown eyes and you have blue eyes, that doesn't mean your wife was unfaithful. But if your wife also has blue eyes and your son has brown eyes, you might want to check the UPS or FedEx man, because it is absolutely impossible for two blue-eyed parents to give birth to a non-blue-eyed child, unless it's green, which actually carries on the blue gene. So genetics are very powerful, but genetics also can affect the behavior. Parents who have special needs children, not always, but very, very, very often, have genetic issues in their family, a brother, a sister, an aunt, a cousin. So the genetics still follow through, and they can affect behavior, because the same chemicals and the same chromosomes that affect your physical health or your physical look can also manifest in issues with your behavioral health. So if the behavior is a problem, it's not that the behavior is just some random item. The genetics can affect behavior. So if you're looking for a dog and you're going to rescue, which is awesome, what you want to do is look for a breed or look for a dog, a rescue, who's got a combination of different breeds in it that aren't particularly dominant. And if at all possible, if you're getting a puppy, it's always great to see if the mother is available, but it's also great if you know who the father is, because you can see the mother and father and see a little bit not only what they might look like, but also how they might behave. So as you can see, it's not just black and white, but like with incomplete dominance, which is in the Mendelian plants, the little pea plants, complete dominance would mean it takes after only one parent or the other. So if one parent is very tall and the other parent is very short, that the children would be only tall or only short. But incomplete dominance, which is what most of genetics winds up being, especially with canine behavior, it can be very tall, very short, or anywhere in between. We are going to be back in just a moment after our messages from our delightful sponsors. And please stay tuned, because we are going to be going into some great behavior stuff you're not going to want to miss. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Today broadcasting live from the home of Dominique, Lisa, and Rich. And we're going to beat up on Rich today because we're going to be talking about things that can cause compulsive behavior or aggression or other behavioral issues. It's not always just genetics, and it's not always just about the breed. Sometimes it's about you are what you eat, and you are what you eat eats. So when you're going to have a dog who is normally, and dogs are carnivores, right? Dogs don't eat bagel chips unless they live at Dominique's house. We're going to beat up on Rich. But the thing is that when you start adding ingredients to a dog who already has either a compulsive behavior or a behavior that is unwanted, you're adding fuel to the fire. That's like pouring gasoline on your barbecue and it's flashing up. And then you complain that, oh, the fire singed my eyebrows. Well, that was pretty darn, stupid. I can say what I want. It's my show, and we're no seven-second delay, so we're good to go here. So what we want to do is make sure that we set our dogs up for success, not for failure. I trademarked that phrase because it's so common sense. But people, in general, I don't think commonly have common sense. Well, when you're giving your dog different foods and different chemicals that are naturally not present, it can affect the dog's behavior. Not only can it affect the behavior, but of course, it can affect the whole dog. It can affect the way the dog acts. It can affect the way the dog feels. It can affect allergies. It can cause itching and allergies and hot spots. It can cause nasal discharge. It can cause eye tear staining, like a lot of the little dogs where they use these different products. You know, one of the greatest ways of reducing allergies and boosting your dog's immune system is to get your dog on an all-organic, and if you do believe in raw, that's fine. Raw diet is fine. The problem is most raw diets are not organic, so although the difference between a raw diet and a food that is flash-cooked very quickly is not really that much. As long as the organic, if the meat is organic, we're good to go. But it's still the same toxins, and it's just like reconstituted milk. It's still milk. It's highly processed, but it's still milk. It doesn't change what it is. So what happens when you start taking a carnivore, a dog, a wolf, any animal like that who eats meat, a cat, and now you start feeding it grains? Well, do the dogs instantly die? No. Can some dogs survive on the worst garbage food in the world? Yes. Do some 95-year-old women in nursing homes still smoke and they don't have emphysema or they don't have lung cancer? Yes. Does that mean we want our children to smoke cigarettes and we want them to eat junk food and chemicals and preservatives and pesticides? And that's okay. That is the little dog where I am. Dominique, what's her name?
Snuggles.
Snuggles right now isn't snuggling. Snuggles right now is barking at other things, and she's up on, the fifth step up because she's a little tiny thing. She's trying to look out the window to be dominant. But we're going to leave her where she is because she's got a brother who's 85 pounds and is a holy rolling heck on wheels. So we're going to leave her in the little bit of a dominant position over her brother because her brother could pick her up and hurl her across the street pretty easily. But let's get back to that nutrition. And you know I beat everybody up about nutrition. If you have any kind of inflammatory condition, anybody with arthritis, anybody with an ankle that hurts, whatever issues you have, if you eat certain foods, you know that sometimes that will make you feel worse. It'll cause inflammation not only in the joint capsule or not only in a portion of the body, but anything that goes into your body becomes then a systemic issue, meaning any food that goes into your body or any chemical that goes into your body doesn't just randomly choose, I'm going to go to her left toe that has the infection. It will also go to the right toe that doesn't have an infection and to your ear and to your eye and to your brain. So when you start giving your dogs things like Rich is going to get beaten up about when he gets back from the walk, you don't want to give your dogs certain foods that can create problems and can make them behaviorally unsound. So let's talk about that. We want to avoid certain ingredients in food. What do we want to avoid and why? We want to get rid of corn. Corn is indigestible even in humans. It's an absolute empty calories. It's what Coca-Cola and all these different things are made of. It's made of all different kinds of corn syrup and corn sugar and all that. And the problem with that is that the sugars that make it sweet also can make a dog hyperactive or anxious or nervous. And why do we want to make a dog with behavioral issues more excitable and more have more energy? So we don't want to do that, right? We definitely don't want to do that. The next thing we want to avoid is wheat. Wheat is the number one cause of food-related aggression and allergies. Now, that doesn't mean that if you give your dog a pizza crust, the dog is going to turn into Cujo and kill your family in its sleep. It just means that it can create behavioral issues, and it can amp up the body's systems so that you're actually adding fuel to the fire again. What can it also do? It can cause itching, skin irritations, and all other kind of things like that, which can also cause inflammation in the brain. The brain is a tissue. The brain is the same thing as the skin or any other body part where it goes through and it goes into your body and it goes through your body systemically and it just happens to settle in the brain. So the main thing that we want to do is avoid corn and wheat. And also the third thing is soy. So soy isn't that big of a problem for a little dog. It just makes them gassy. But soy in a larger dog can actually cause the stomach to fill with air. It's like a torsion or a twisting of the stomach. And that actually it's called bloat, and that can really create a lot of problems. Dog can actually have its stomach flip over, and when the stomach flips over, it continues to bloat. And the more it bloats, the more the dog gets uncomfortable, and eventually the dog will almost literally explode. It's a really sad thing. The next thing is avoiding chemical preservatives like BHA, BHT, propylene glycol, red dye number 40, all of those things that are added to the dog food either chemically to preserve it or
to make it, oh, the dog loves it. Yeah, well, guess what? Dipropylene glycol is a component of antifreeze. Guess what? That's why dogs lick antifreeze. It's because of the dipropylene and propylene glycol that's in the antifreeze. Would you feed your dog antifreeze? Well, keep feeding them snossages and Beggin strips and all those, you know, kind of junky, you know, things that, you know, look shiny and they're made of God knows what parts of what kind of animals and where those animals came from. So, again, we want to set our dogs up for success, not for failure. And we're going to talk more about behavioral issues that really do have a chemical basis. Yes, there are some. And we're going to talk about them when we return. Stay tuned. We'll be back with Dominique and Lisa and their dogs in a moment.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. And today we have been talking about some really big-time stuff. No rants today. Too much work to do. So we're going to be talking a little bit this week about what we study in our natural canine behavior rehabilitation course that we at UnitedCanineProfessionals.com teach every Thursday night. And also we're going to go into a little bit later about our special cancer detection and scent dog training, as well as the service dog and in-school service dog programs that we do through MerlinsKids.org and UnitedK9Professionals.com, and our amazing new venture where we are doing our live screening cancer detection dogs. It's actually not new, but it's a new portion of the program, and it's going to be really fun. Well, one of the things we always want to do is find a stable dog. What the heck does that mean? What's a stable dog? Is it one you find in a horse barn? No, it's one that has a sound mind and body. It's one who is confident and happy in being who he or she is. And if a dog is happy with who he or she is and feels protected and safe and comfortable, then he's not or she's not going to have behavioral issues. Behavioral issues can happen for many reasons. One of the most common behavioral reasons is that we don't understand how dogs speak and how dogs think. Now, think for a moment, think like a man. If you think like a man, men think differently than we do. And you understand why men would maybe be complaining, "Honey, why are you interrupting me? Because I'm watching the Super Bowl and the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, even though I hate the Dallas Cowboys, the Cowboys cheerleaders, they're just really cute and they're in their little skimpy suits. And, of course, I love you more than I love them, but please go away. I don't want to talk." But we get angry at them. So if you know that your husband likes to watch football games with a beer in his hand with his buddies watching the ball game, the four B's of men, and you'll understand that it's probably not the best time to interrupt him when he's watching the game. What does that mean? It means you've got to understand and you've got to think like a dog, think like a man, think like who you are. So that was a dog who just realized the floor rule existed because I'm walking and pacing as I always do, and the dog didn't see me coming, and she wasn't even stepped on. She's a little bit of a weenie. But she screamed because she says, oh, my gosh, there's somebody who's not walking over me and stepping around me. So anyway, what we want to do is think like a dog and understand why the dogs are doing what they're doing. The first thing is it ever possible for a dog to have behavioral issues that are chemically linked? The answer is yes. A wonderful, amazing, and in my humble opinion, very, very close to, if not number one guy in the country, neurologist, is an amazing, amazing veterinarian named Dr. Jason Berg. He does not know he's getting a shout-out, but I'm sure someone will hear this and call him. He's in Yonkers, New York at the Animal Specialty Center. He's not one of these vets who prescribes chemicals and, you know, and decides he's going to, you know, medicate every dog. He's an amazing neurologist who looks at symptoms and looks at behavior. And I work very closely with him and their group. They're the ones who, they're just amazing. They're just incredible people. It is absolutely the most fascinating and fabulous place I've ever been able to take my dogs. But one of the great things is when we were talking yesterday for a client who had a really, really beautiful dog who's got some pretty serious aggression and compulsion, we were discussing the fact that rarely, like it's not even 1 in 100, but maybe 1 in several hundred dogs might actually need a little bit of help with some kind of medication where the dog actually is helped along behaviorally. In other words, we're going to still rehabilitate the dog behaviorally, but what we're not going to do is we are not going to say, oh, yes, let's put the dog on, let's say Prozac, and lock him in a crate for 2 weeks until the stuff works, and we're not going to change any of our behaviors. Well, the dog I'm working with today, my afternoon one, they are actually, Dominique is right now trotting around with her dog around us, which is really kind of cute. And Dominique is available and very, very beautiful and is laughing and smiling right now because she can't believe I'm actually saying this. But yes, she's working really hard with her dog, and this family has a really strong commitment to their dog. But sometimes, no matter how much we love our dogs, sometimes our dogs do, rarely, but sometimes, like in this case, they do need a little bit of help from something that might be missing in their brain. And what I've noticed, and I spoke to Dr. Berg yesterday, was that it seems that it's almost age-dependent. Now, think back to being, you know, a teenager. And remember, you know, those of you who have kids, remember how nice your kids were when they were like 7 or 8 or 9, and then they hit 10 and 11, and eventually they turn into teenagers, and I don't know what happens to them. I don't know if you do, but these teenagers turn into holy heck, and they get behavioral issues and everything else. Well, sometimes, because the hormones, there are ways to be able to help and give them that little bit of support they need to get through that phase. Now, for some children or some animals, it might be behavioral intervention. For some, they actually do have a chemical imbalance, and it's actually quite common with dogs going through their adolescence, which would be approximately 10 or 11 months of age till about 15 to 16 months. The other thing that happens at that phase is that these dogs end up also, besides the chemical things that are going on, they're also in fear phases. That, you know what we talk about. These dogs are going through fear impact, flight instinct. You know, they're going through all these different developmental phases, and on top of it, even if the dog is spayed or neutered, on top of that, it's just development. Yes, there's definitely a link to some of the sex hormones like testosterone or estrogen or progesterone, but more importantly, It can be just a matter of a normal developmental phase that the dog is going to be going through. So we can sometimes help that along by giving a dog with a specific veterinarian, not just a local vet, and not necessarily just a behavioral vet, but with a veterinarian, a neurologist who's able to diagnose potential issues and then try different medications to see if that's something that can get you through that time. I know that's what I had to do with Trooper. My dog is actually autistic, to get him through until I could work with him behaviorally. So, yes, that does happen, and it's certainly not something that you rule out. But I think the problem is that most of the time when people say, yes, my dog's on Prozac, my dog's on Clomicalm, there's a behavioral issue that underlies it. And if you don't handle that behavioral issue beneath that problem, you're really just not fixing it. All you're doing is locking the aggressive dog into a crate or outside rather than teaching him how to behave inside and how to allow him to have that ability to interact with your family and be the dog you wanted him to be. So stay tuned. We are going to be right back in a moment with the next segment of For the Love of Dog.
Dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. I forgot to do something today before we started our show. I forgot to give a shout out to the incredible future Dr. Jody Joseph up at Cornell College of Veterinary Medicine, who did two different classes in 2 days and is helping the amazing people up there. She's been helping dogs. She's been learning about all kinds of really cool veterinarian stuff and grosses me out with Gross Anatomy Lab, which is turning me back into a vegan. So, again, we're going to talk about the different things that people think is going on with the dog rather than what really is going on with the dog. Imagine right now, and you can hear in the background, and don't worry, Dominique, because it's fine. You hear a dog barking. Now, is that a normal bark? And I'm actually going to go towards it because I want you all to hear it. Of course, he's going to stop when he sees me. Now, does that sound like a normal bark to you of a dog who's happy? Well, it shouldn't, because it's a repetition and it's almost like a compulsive behavior. And what I was explaining, and I love teaching people because, of course, I work with autistic and special needs children, the same exact thing that happens when somebody is severely OCD or has compulsive behavior happens also with animals. Sometimes that can be a chemical issue. Sometimes it can be a physiological issue. And, of course, I'm not a doctor. I do play one on TV. I'm not a veterinarian, although I was pre-vet at Columbia, but I do know A lot, because I've been doing this for 35 years, since I was a teenager. And that was since I was negative 10, according to the future Dr. Jody Joseph. So one of the things is that when a dog or an animal exhibits a compulsive behavior, it's the very same thing in behavior. And I want to cite a study that I found fascinating. My good friend Dr. Temple Grandin has an amazing book out there that probably most people would not even be able to read through the words in, because it's written in a really scientific way. But it's an awesome book, and I urge everybody to read her books, Thinking in Pictures and Animals Make Us Human and Animals in Translation, which explain a lot of the whys. Things that I've been saying for 30 years, she explains why. Well, one of these great studies that was done in Sweden was with cows. And what they found was they had put a clipboard, and I'm sure it didn't start out as an experiment, but it ended up that way. The scientists, the researchers, went out, probably just observing cow behavior, and they went out and they put out a clipboard. And on this clipboard was some paper with all their notes. So what happened was the cows, and it could be dogs, it could be horses, it could be any animal, the cows walked up looking for, oh, what is that? What is that? What is that? And all the cows walked up towards this clipboard. Well, it must have been a breezy day, and of course the clipboard had some paper on it, and the paper flapped up and made a little noise, and all the cows backed away from the clipboard. Anybody have any idea why the cows first sought the novelty, were seeking the novelty of what was going on in their field, the newness? Well, now think about, okay, obviously they were trying to say, or, hey, that's really cool. What's that doing out here in my home, in my field? But the interesting part of that is when the cows were actually, instead of seeking the novelty but running from it, it showed that their fear receptors were in the same location in the brain and on the receptors as were the ones to seek novelty. And that can explain a little bit about dogs who are fearful and can become aggressive, but they're very interested. So they're seeking the novelty. They come up to people and they want to be petted, but unfortunately, their fear makes them retreat from that. And that's a very, very unique concept to understand, even though it's what happens in nature, because as these dogs or cattle or whatever are working and are looking and are trying really hard, they want to come forward. The problem is that they're coming forward, but as soon as somebody moves and they see some kind of thing that might be a potential threat to them, they run from it. And what happens if you can't run from your fears? If you want to run, but somebody's keeping you there, you might actually act out and you might become aggressive. This is what happened, I told you, with all these babies and kids who are walking around, toddling around, crawling around, and their parents, for whatever reason, weren't in the room or weren't close enough. The dogs are not looking to go up to the baby. The dogs aren't going up to the baby and going, oh, you're in my area, I'm going to attack you. What normally happens is the dog wants to get away, but either he's cornered or he feels uncomfortable and he knows he's not supposed to do it, but he does it anyway. And what happens is, unfortunately, kids tend to get bitten. And it's a really, really scary thing. So that same thing that makes the dog or the puppy or the animal go up to see what's going on and, oh, that's really cool, it's the same exact thing as what makes the dog retreat or the animal retreat from that location, from that baby. So how do you do that? How do you handle a dog who is fearful of children? Well, you certainly don't bring him up to children and have them pet him. What you do is you turn the child into the dog's leader. if the dog feels that the child is the leader, then that's going to mean that the child is now the one gaining the respect from the dog, instead of the dog feeling that he's controlling the movement of lesser-ranking pack members. He's controlling what happens. He's deciding what's going on. And that's what we can't allow to happen with little kids, because I don't trust kids around dogs. I didn't say I don't trust dogs around kids. I don't trust kids around dogs. And not that I want to browbeat any of the now 12 children's families, 12 kids who were bitten, and most of them, about 75% of those, I think about 9 of them, were actually bitten in the face. One extremely severe, the others, you know, probably won't leave marks, and, you know, a couple needed sutures. But the problem is, why is anybody leaving a 10-month-old or 8-month-old or 2-year-old child unattended? That just doesn't make sense, because take the dog out of the picture and stop blaming the dog for a minute. Why, please tell me, why was the parent not in the room with the child and the dog? You don't want to leave any dog and any child unattended together, because kids do stupid things because they're little. They don't know. They're adorable. They're learning. So when you're going to introduce a dog to a child, do it in the proper way so that the dog knows that you're protecting him and that he doesn't have to protect that child, because that's not his job, because he's not the leader. You are. And please don't leave your child unattended, because he could have gotten into poison or drowned in water or gotten into an electrical socket or some kind of chemical. So remember that. And stay tuned for the last segment of For the Love of Dog.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. We got one more shout out. We're going to shout out to our good friend Luis Medina in Mexico, who is in our new classes, both the behavioral and the service dog and cancer detection classes. He's taking everything, and he is going to be, I just think, so incredible at doing what we do. And we're so proud to have him on the show. And he's right now in Mexico, I'm sure, saying, oh, my gosh, I can't believe she mentioned me on the show. Luis, we love you. You are our favorite new person. Not that we don't love everybody, but everybody has been so impressed with you the last couple of weeks. And we're so grateful to have you on board and bringing the country of Mexico on board. So we now have 7 countries represented with United Canine Professionals. If you think you might have what it takes, like Luis, and like Cassie, and like Katie, and like Aaron, and like Laren, and all of our people, and Karen Aaron, if you think you have what it takes and you say, wow, I love doing this, Janice, I just love learning about canine behavior. I love learning why dogs do what they do. I love what you guys are doing. You can join. We don't accept everybody, certainly. We accept about 10 to 15% of the people who apply. But if you think you've got what it takes and you love dogs and you want to have a career rehabilitating dogs with behavioral issues like I get to do every day of my life, I love it, meeting awesome people and being able to broadcast from their dining room with their really cute dogs. You, too, can join United Canine Professionals. You can call us at 855-4-K-9-PROS, 855-4-K-9-PROS. If you're interested in learning how to train service dogs or cancer detection dogs, you can call us at 855-HI-WYATT, because we all love Wyatt. And Wyatt's got his new website that will be up and running very soon. And he's going to feature a different rescue and a different dog every week. So we will give you details if you want to go on to the MerlinsKids.org website or get the link through UnitedCanineProfessionals.com website. You can nominate your favorite veterinarians, your favorite pet professionals, and we will be happy to put them on, and hopefully let's see who wins. We're going to have the best of the best, only the best of the best. We're not going to have anything less than the best, because my dogs get the best, and my rescue dogs get the best, and our Merlin's kids get the best. And we want you to be able to have good food, good quality food, access to help if you need it. And if you say, you know what, I could use some help, but I'm in Juneau, Alaska. Darn it, we only have people in Fairbanks, Anchorage, and North Pole. I can't help you in Juneau, but here's a number you can call. We will help you with behavioral issues free of charge by phone. And if we don't have somebody in your area, we will look to find somebody who we can put through our intensive training program, and then you will have help in your area. They can call, or you can call, for free help over the phone, 855-4-K-9-PROS. All right, back to the show again. We've got about 5 minutes to go till the end of the show. What I want to do is talk to you about some of the common misconceptions that people have about different breeds. Sometimes people label things very quickly as it's a pit bull. Ooh, that's the kiss of death. I have gone into shelters in the Deep South and in Texas and all over the country for that matter, but especially like the Midwest, the West, and the South. And I'm telling you, they label things as pit bulls that aren't even close. I was actually working with a dog at a wonderful rescue that we work with on Tuesday nights called 11th Hour Rescue, which is my favorite rescue in the whole world. And they place about 4,000 dogs every year. And I'm their behaviorist for any of their dogs who have any kind of behavioral issues. And we're going to be doing some really cool events coming up. We are totally committed to them. Well, these people are awesome because they are the ones who take dogs from all over the country, and some of them are labeled pit bulls. And then we look, Kelly and I go through, and we go, nope, that's not a pit. Nope, that's not a pit. And if you could see the one dog that stands out when I was down in Georgia last year, and this dog is when I got Charlie, who's our plot hound, I looked at the card and I said, this is a pit bull? Okay, let me tell you what it looked like. It was definitely mostly Pomeranian, and it was a little larger, and it was labeled a pit bull on the cage card. Well, I went up to the lady at this high kill, all kill shelter, and I said, how is this a pit bull? I said, they obviously put the wrong dog in there. They said, no, we have probably 75% of the dogs that are in our shelter are pits and pit mixes. I said, are Pomeranians in the pit bull family? I mean, how can you confuse a pit bull and a Pomeranian? It's like, that's like, you know, pits and parolees. I mean, you at least know one's a dog and one's a human. So stop getting hung up on the label. Yes, certain dogs have certain traits and certain genetic makeups, but don't label, because if we did that and if we said, ooh, I don't like that person, they're African American, you would be, forget it, or, oh, I don't like those people, they're Chinese, we would be drummed out of the world. But why is it that we're allowed to pick on certain breeds or combinations as if they are all inherently evil? I've seen some of the most amazing dogs in the world who are pits, and I've seen some bad ones who are pits. But I've probably seen more bad little dogs who don't have any pit bull in them, especially some of the little Yorkies and Maltese and the little dogs who people don't treat the same way as they treat a large dog. If you have a larger dog, medium to larger size dog, and your dog is getting funky or aggressive, you call a behaviorist or you at least try to get an obedience trainer, which, you know, may or may not work, but you're eventually going to find a behaviorist. But boy, oh boy, when you've got that little 8-pound dog, little chihuahua or something, and, you know, somebody comes in your front door and they're like, they can't even walk in the door because this thing's attacking them, why is it that everything has to be labeled? Think of your dog as, instead of a breed or the name of the dog, think of it as it's just a dog. It's a behavior. And if you don't like that behavior, bite the behavior. That's the correction we use, a little poke with your hand. But correct the behavior and then move on and get on with your life. You don't want to start yelling and screaming and carrying on like a lunatic, because if you called and started screaming and said, Janice, get over here right now. Get over here right now. I need you. Get over here right now. I'd be like looking like, oh, my God, I'm going the other way. So when you want your dog to come to you and you scream at him, he thinks you're a lunatic. Probably your neighbors do too. So make it happy, happy, joy, joy. If your dog gets out the front door, your dog won't come, get down a little bit lower to his level and make it seem like there's something good at the end of that. Oh, come on, Fluffy. Come on, buddy. Yay. He'll come to you. Anybody will come to you. But think like a dog and stop being unfair to your dog. All right, today it's enough for our show. I'm losing my voice. I'm going to have another cup of tea. And we will see you next week on Friday for the Love of Dog.